2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dejanovic.
We've been talking about this for several days now, and it's clear that the Gabby Petito case has captured the nation's attention. We've certainly covered it extensively here at KSL, as has the other local media. And Dave, I really want to take this opportunity right now to talk about missing women that we don't usually talk about.
Yes. It's important because sometimes we get caught up in the news of the now, and when a new news story pops up, we just move on. And oftentimes, you know, we forget, I think, of the tragedies that are happening. And we forget about the murders and the murder investigations or the missing prayer persons.
Or we haven't even covered them.
Yeah.
We haven't even talked about them. You know, the national news picked up on the Gabby Petito story in an instant, but her family lives in New York. They may have the resources to reach out to the local press, the national press, to get their daughter's face all over televisions across the United States. But Native American women, their families might not even have TVs. They might be lucky to have a radio. If you've ever been to a reservation, you know it can be vast, and they don't have all the same resources we have or the knowledge on how to get their stories out there. But Native American women are murdered at a rate that stopped my heart this morning when I saw that, the number. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But I want to talk about Native American women right now and what is going on to bring attention in Utah and across the nation to those women who seemingly just vanish off the reservations out of Indian country. And their families try to get the publicity, Dave, but they don't really have the same know-how that we do to get publicity for those of us who are living on the Wasatch Front. Some people just send emails, right? Or they knock on the door of a newspaper or a TV station. They reach out to a reporter. I want to talk about that right now.
I'm trying to remember, when you were the spokesperson for the FBI, did you cover Indian reservations?
Yes.
Was that under purview of the FBI?
The FBI handles major crimes, I'll just put it that way, on Indian reservations.
Okay.
And whenever we would have an incident involving maybe a kidnapping or a homicide of anybody it's called Indian country. In Indian country, we would issue, as much media attention as we could because, I personally felt that was so important to make sure the press was aware that we were needing help, that the search was on for a suspect, no matter where the victim lived.
On an Indian reservation, how does law enforcement work? Is it very similar to the way our law enforcement works?
No. I mean, there's the tribal police, and they handle criminal activity on the reservation. But the FBI has agents assigned to Indian country, and they respond to the major crimes. Now, along the Wasatch Front, if a homicide happens, the FBI doesn't generally respond, right?
Right.
It's the police department.
Right.
So the FBI will go in and do the investigation. We have hundreds, according to the FBI, hundreds of missing Native American women across the United States. And I was looking at Channel 2 locally, their website, and they've estimated that there are at least a couple of dozen women here in Utah. And families are in Indian country are often forced to do their best to turn to social media because the local media doesn't always cover these stories. In fact, I found this on a website. It's called Native Women's Wilderness. Native American women are voicing some of the statistics out loud that are happening to women in Indian country.
3 out of 4 Native women will be physically assaulted. The advocates believe that crimes against Native women are underreported and underestimated. 88% of the crimes committed against Indigenous women are interracial. 1 in 3 Native American women will be raped in their lifetime.
And to add to that, statistics show Native American women are 2 times more likely to be murdered than other women.
That's chilling. And something we don't talk nearly enough about, obviously.
So we're going to get a live interview in just a moment with a man who is Navajo, and he is advocating for more publicity and more awareness, and we're going to have an interview. But what does it feel like when you are trying to get the message out and it feels like nobody is listening? And how can we do better? You and I, KSL News Radio, all the KSLs, our community, how can we do better to help them bring their women back home? I want to talk, though, about what is being done, because I think there's some good news in this area, Dave, and I've seen it happen in the last year as I'm watching these new task forces form. There has been a growing awareness about this, and I dare say our neglect to bring more awareness to this over the years. I think it's starting to become, we're starting to satisfy, I believe, our obligation to get the word out about missing and murdered Native American women. So the FBI has recently dedicated a webpage for missing and murdered women. I went there to the webpage this morning, and you can see pictures right there on that webpage. There are approximately 1,500, according to the FBI, 1,500 who are missing. Interior Secretary Deb Haaland, she dedicated a team to start coordinating these cases. I think that's so important. You got to coordinate these cases. So maybe this one needs media attention. Another one needs more, investigators on it. So they are starting to coordinate those cases. And then in Utah, we created a task force here up on Capitol Hill to look into the scope of the problem here and then how to address it. And my understanding is that task force, I think it went into they started meeting in 2020 and then the pandemic hit. So there were some problems with getting everybody together. But that task force, is still meeting. And I hope that they come up with some solutions to how we can continue to bring awareness to missing women who go missing from Indian country. Straight ahead, I'm looking forward to this live interview with a man by the name of Eugene Tappe. I expect him to express some frustrations over maybe lack of attention and public awareness in this up until now, and also give us ideas of how we can help and how we can do better.
Dave and Dujanovic.
Tim and Amanda here with breaking updates. Mornings from 5 to 9.
Then from 3 to 7, it's Jeff Kaplan and his Minute of News.
We're all on KSL News Radio.
Utah's all-day companion for news.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.